Hello, my friends, and welcome to Love Over Fear, Stories for Precarious Times, which is being presented as a bonus episode by End of Life University Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Karen Wyatt. I'm sharing with you these stories in hopes of offering some inspiration and guidance for the challenging days we are facing together as we go through the coronavirus pandemic, confined to a wheelchair or bed at all times. Today's story is titled, What Life is Giving Me Now. This is a story that involves my patient and friend, Matt, whom I got to know when I was working for a home care and hospice organization, and he was on our service with a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. He was being cared for at home by his girlfriend, and he was nearing the end stages of his disease, so requiring 24/7 care. But it's the story of Matt's journey with his illness that I want to share with you today. Matt had been an extreme skier, which means he didn't just ski on the black diamond runs at ski resorts. He actually hiked up mountains carrying his skis and poles with him and skied on glaciers and down chutes, narrow chutes in mountains. And he'd been all over the U.S. and other countries as well, skiing on these glaciers. He was very skilled at it. He was also sponsored by a number of different ski equipment companies, so who provided him with the gear he needed, but also with a film crew who would go along and film him as he skied. So Matt was really at the beginning of this promising career as an extreme skier when he first began to lose his eyesight, which was the presenting symptom of his multiple sclerosis. He started with some double vision and then began having trouble with blurred vision as well, and eventually was diagnosed with MS. At that time, he was determined, because his body was still functioning fairly well, he was determined to meet a goal he had set for himself, which was to ski a glacier on every continent of the planet. And so he set out to travel with his skis and within a short amount of time to do the hiking and the skiing that he had desired to do to accomplish this goal. A second goal of his was to hike the Colorado Trail, which is a 500-mile trail over the mountains across the state of Colorado. So he also pursued that goal, and his girlfriend Christine went with him on that hiking and camping trip as he was getting weaker and weaker from the multiple sclerosis, but he managed to accomplish it and to complete that journey. He was so determined. Matt told me that during those days, he dealt with a lot of anger over his disease, anger and resentment that he had developed this disease, this horrible, debilitating disease at such a young age, and that it was changing his life so drastically. He had tried various treatment modalities, and he'd been through several rehab programs that were designed to help him strengthen his limbs, but ultimately the disease relentlessly marched on and actually progressed fairly rapidly. So within a decade or so, he was bound to a wheelchair and a hospital bed as he was when I first met him. He talked to me quite a lot about how he had dealt with anger and depression and frustration and had even been suicidal at times during this journey with MS. But at some point, Matt told me, he eventually surrendered. And he said it seemed to have happened partly because he ended up spending quite a bit of time in bed during the day when he could do nothing. He couldn't even lift his arms or lift his head off the pillow very well. And he said he began to meditate during those times while he was alone during the day and confined to his bed. he told me that he began to really appreciate the fact that he was immobile and unable to get around or move, because that's actually what allowed him to learn how to meditate. Previously in his life, he'd been so energetic and so driven with his sport and the goals he wanted to accomplish that he never would have stopped and taken time to sit down and just be still and quiet. But MS was actually a pathway that allowed him that opportunity to develop his skills of being still and quiet and silent and meditating. And so over the years, the few years before I met him, Matt had been going into deep meditation every day, and it helped him a lot with his anger and his depression, though there were still times when he felt very frustrated and upset and overcome with emotion. But on the whole, the meditation he was doing was helping him find his way back to equilibrium. And I learned so much from Matt by our conversations and just talking with him about this journey to be a young man in his 40s who had lost so much over the past 10 years of his life and was on a rapidly downward progressing course with this illness, and yet had found an ability to have peace about it and an ability to be accepting of the fact that this is how his life was. I've told a story once before about the day I first met Matt, when I walked into his apartment and he was sitting in front of the sliding glass doors in his wheelchair, watching a squirrel that was scurrying back and forth across the deck, carrying pine cones, probably to a nest somewhere. And when I walked in and introduced myself, Matt waved to me to sit down, but held his hand up to ask me to be quiet because he was engaged in watching the squirrel. And we sat together silently until the squirrel was done with its job of carrying all the pine cones off the deck. And then Matt turned to me and was ready for our conversation. And that day, I got a sense of how present Matt was in this moment and able to fully attend to what was happening in front of him at the moment. And he invited me into that space. He invited me to be still with him and quiet with him and watch the squirrel. And I was able to enter into that very same meditative state in a way that he was experiencing in that moment. And I became aware of the depth of his equanimity and acceptance as I sat with him and said nothing, didn't talk at all, simply observed the squirrel. So I got a taste of what Matt had been learning through meditation simply by sitting there on the couch and observing with him and being invited into the present moment. So Matt was a profound teacher for me. I had often wondered how I might respond if I had ever developed such a debilitating progressive illness as MS, and how I would tolerate all the losses that happen almost on a day-to-day basis, losing one function after another, one ability after another. And so I was fascinated with Matt's story and hearing about the times he continued to ski as his disease was progressing as long as he could, and days when he fell down on the slopes and had trouble getting back up again, but he loved his sport so much and wanted to continue it until the last possible moment. And in fact, at the time I met him, he was actually able to go skiing in a sit ski, it's called, where a guide would ski with him. He would sit in a seat with skis as rudders beneath the seat, and a guide would hold handles behind and they would ski down the mountain together. So he was still able to enjoy the feel of skiing on certain days and loved it so much and would always talk so effusively about the experiences he had had when he was able to go out with a volunteer on the slopes, even at that time as his disease was very advanced. So in my conversations with Matt, I remember asking him one day, how do you cope with this? How do you deal with it as your disease progresses and as each day seems to bring a new challenge or a new loss? And he stopped for a moment and thought, and he said, well, I think to myself, oh, this is what life is bringing me now. And he said, that has been the phrase that has kept me going through all of these years, is to just remember that every day is a new day and life brings me something different every day. And he said, you know, for a number of years, life was bringing me adventure and opportunity to travel. And he said, I got to ski in many countries around the world. I got to see things. It was amazing and exhilarating. And he said, but I wasn't a very nice person then. I wasn't a very good person. I didn't really have any depth to me. I was selfish and superficial. And so he said, that's what life brought to me then. But this is what life is bringing to me now. And he said, just as I made the most of what life gave me back then, I'm trying to make the most of every day right now with what life is giving me now. And that phrase has stayed in my mind ever since. And I've repeated it to myself sometimes when I feel disappointed because something happens that I wasn't expecting, because plans get canceled, because I get sick, or because I have an accident that derails everything that I thought was going to take place. This is what life is bringing me now. And to be able to look at it with that same almost lighthearted sense of, oh, how interesting. This is what life is offering me. This is the gift I have from life today that I'm being asked to learn from and to cope with. That is the tremendous gift that Matt gave me through his story, through his journey, and his ability to adapt and to cope with a terrible disease. And I feel that as each one of us is coping right now with changes that seem to be coming day after day, with uncertainty in our lives, with losses that we were not prepared for and not expecting that we're dealing with trying to reinvent our lives day after day as new developments come along, it's a good time to say this to ourselves, oh, this is what life is bringing me now. This is what's coming for me today. So what will I do with this? What will I make from this today? And I remembered in one of my favorite books, which is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, some things that Frankl wrote that I wanted to share with you today. Frankl said, what was really needed, and he's talking about in order to survive being in a concentration camp, what was really needed was a fundamental change in our attitude toward life. We had to learn ourselves, and furthermore, we had to teach the despairing men that it did not really matter what we expected from life, but rather what life expected from us. Life ultimately means taking the responsibility to find the right answer to its problems and to fulfill the tasks which it constantly sets for each individual. When a man finds that it is his destiny to suffer, he will have to accept his suffering as his task, his single and unique task. He will have to acknowledge the fact that even in suffering, he is unique and alone in the universe. No one can relieve him of his suffering or suffer in his place. His unique opportunity lies in the way in which he bears his burden. So for me, my friend Matt offered me a perfect example of this type of acceptance of the burden that life offers. He accepted the joy and the pleasure that life offered in his earlier days, but as MS slowly and gradually began to rob him of all of his physical abilities, he accepted that burden as his task to navigate and negotiate, to offer the best he had to. He took a responsibility to find a way to navigate the problems and to still have a fulfilling and meaningful life, even a life filled with moments like watching a squirrel carry pine cones across his deck, or sitting in deep conversation with a visitor, or meditating in his bed for hours during the afternoon. Matt was managing to live his life moment to moment and find fulfillment and joy and meaning in every single moment. That is such a powerful skill. And I believe that each one of us has an opportunity right now in the suffering that we're coping with because of this global pandemic to also respond to the tasks that life is presenting us with, to make the most of it, to do our best with it, to do the best even though we don't know the outcome, we don't know where it's heading, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. But we do know that we're here right now, today, in this moment, and we can use what life is giving us in this moment to bring love into the world, to create something beautiful in each and every moment, to be still and quiet, to go within, to discover our own beating hearts, our own well of love that is longing to be shared with others. I hope that you find a way to make the most of whatever life is bringing you right now. May you find peace and love and joy in each and every moment. And we will get through this. We will get through it together, one way or another.